Welcome to the December 15th, 2018 session of TeamSpeak for HPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I did do some programming on the combined HPSDR programmer, so I'm making a little progress with that. I'm looking at ways to work out the background algorithm a little better. Making progress and back programming again, so that's a good thing. This week has also been finals at work, so I've been giving finals and grading and all that kind of stuff, so we should be slowing down a little bit next week, and the week after is a holiday, so looking forward to some break time over the holidays. Next on the list, we have Dave, KD0EAG. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello. I don't know if you can hear me well. I'm doing this on my phone.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. Desktop audio is still completely not functional. So trying out this phone app on my actually mostly fighting with my desktop trying to audio work.
Dave, we're getting a few cutouts. I don't know if it's the same on your end, but we can hear you fine, and then it's like a second of quiet, and then hear you fine. So I'll go on. Next on the list, we have Henry, PA0HJA, shown as recording. And then we have Mike, AA8K, shown as recording, and Mike muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to TeamSpeak. openhpsdr.org. Then we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, evening all. This week I've been working on the envelope tracking code so we can include pure signal when we're working in phase modulated rather than envelope modulated mode. And I had a discussion with Warren, and he agrees with the approach, so I've actually written the code, and I've had a first round of code over to Rudiger to test on his Class C amplifiers, and a few little issues, which I'm just chasing down at the moment. Not quite sure whether at the moment the issues in the FPGA or the or power SDR, so working through that, but making quite good progress. Looking forward to a bit of a break. We get having a break between Christmas and New Year, which will be my first official holiday this year, which I'm really looking forward to. And the weather started to brighten up as well. It's starting to get some quite nice warm days, which is good. Apart from that, I've been following the release of Protocol 2, and it seems to be quite a few people having success with the using Thetis and Protocol 2, which is good, and I'll keep following that over the next few weeks as more people start to make use of the of Protocol 2. That's the news from down under. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And I did look a little bit at the Protocol 2 beta website, and I think I'll do a little bit of cleaning up and make it a little more public, easier to find. So we'll have some information there that's up to date and relevant. Next on the list, we have Terry in 8AB, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Dave and all. Yeah, not too much to report. I was actually off work this week, and I was so busy doing stuff around the house, I really don't know how I find time to go to work most of the year. But oh well, didn't do too much radio stuff, but I did resurrect. I had a Mac Mini that I had to turn off due to I/O errors back in September. I was heading out to the DCC, so I got to working on it, reviving it back to life, which feels good. And weekend project is building up a network attached storage. Well, installing a network attached storage box. I'm not doing too much building with it, but trying to get up a rated NAS box to have a nice, secure, comfy place to store things. So back to you.
Well, those sound like good projects, and good luck with those. Next on the list, we have John, AJ6BC. Go ahead, John. John, are you there? Well, John seems to have lost his push-to-talk button, so I do know that he's been working on Thetis and has both code and his board, so I'm sure he has something to tell us. Maybe he'll be along in a little bit. Anyway, then we have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording and away, and that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion.
No, not typically, mainly radio-wise, but regarding your NAS box, is that the Synology DS218 Plus that you are going to install?
It is, with two 10-terabyte Hitachi Global Storage Helium drives.
Okay, I'm actually looking at getting one of those myself based on your decision. My store has done Sterling service for about 8 years now, but it's started to play up, so rather than risk anything going disastrous, I was going to treat myself to a Christmas present and get one of those as well.
No, give me a week and I should be able to give at least an installing it review. I just realized I should have also bought a UPS for it, so I will hang it off one of my UPSs for the moment, but I'll buy it its very own UPS during the week.
Okay, yeah, that would be useful. But I've had a look around at what else is available. It's certainly the reviews are very good, and Bill's chosen. It's going to be a pretty good device. So look forward to it. Thanks, Bill.
You have more faith than is warranted in my picking of computer hardware, but
yeah, my store has been working brilliantly for the last sort of 8 years plus, and I guess the hard drives. Well, I noticed the hard drive lights are continually on, and I've done a disk check, and everything seems to be okay. But something's not happy in there. So 8 years for a set of drives is probably pushing my luck anyway. So I'll get one of the Synology boxes and put some new drives in anyway.
Yeah, on that one, I think I would. Well, I went with top of the line enterprise level drives because I'm willing to trade money for hopefully less hassle.
Yes. Yeah. When I was when I bought mine, what, so 8 years ago, there wasn't too much of a choice, but I see there is now in terms of drives specifically for NAS and RAID arrays.
Yeah. Well, there was one of the cloud providers did a study of what they saw for failure rates were, and I mean they were really atrociously bad on one of the brands, and I forget which one, so I won't say which I think it is, but I know the I have a preference towards the HGST ones because they come out of the old that's the old IBM disk drive business they sold, and they had really good reputation with their Desk Stars and Ultra Star drives.
You just put a note down the bottom of the drives you're using, Bill, please, so I could follow it up.
Yeah, take me a minute to go find them.
Thanks very much.
Those are the ones I went with. If you go with the Synology on their website, in the support section, they've got a lookup thing where you can see which drives they've tested in support. So this was off that list there. There's also a 12-terabyte version of these things, although the Synology doc says maximum 10 TB. So I don't know if that's just because that was the largest drive at the time they wrote the doc, or if there's a limit there for 10 terabytes. The step to 10 terabytes, though, is I think these ones are like 325, and the 12-terabyte ones are up at 525. So you end up spending about $200 for an extra 2 terabytes, which didn't seem to be a good part of the storage curve to be on.
Okay, Bill, thanks so much, and I'll go back to the list. Website, have a look at the other drives there. Thanks very much. That's good. Thank you. I probably don't need such a large drive anyway. I don't. I think I've got two terabyte drives in there, rated as a single drive, and I think it's only about 50% full. So I may go with perhaps 4. I don't know. It depends what the price break looks like.
Yeah, I probably don't need the 10 either. But when I build things, I build them for as big as they can be, and then I don't know. I'm amazed as to how many. I've got a bunch of USB drives I use for backup now, and I'm amazed how much I managed to fill those up. So I figured I would go large.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the six gig, but for some reason it's and actually doesn't give the price for that.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a price break somewhere in there or not. I honestly don't remember because I was shooting for, you know, sort of extra large size.
Well, the 10 gig are cheaper than the 6, than the 8.
Well, yeah, I guess so. We can have yield curve inversions. We can have storage curve inversions, I guess.
Yeah.
User in your channel timed out.
Well, you got a love win 10. But, bummer. Sorry to hear that there, John. But catch you later. I post a link below also to another interesting little gizmo. Is a wireless water leak monitor.
User disconnected from your channel.
Still using yours in the fridge and freezer here, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to use this one in the same place I used the one I've got, but this one will potentially send me email, which would be a nice thing to know if it starts leaking when I'm not home to hear the thing buzz. But there's going to be a bit of reverse engineering on this thing because I hate things that are cloud supported. So I want to go see, can I pick off this thing phoning home on my networking, and also see if I can pick off the sensor going to the sensor going to the base station and hear it. I suspect this thing's at 900 megahertz, but I don't know. Annoyingly, I could not find a FCC ID for this thing, so until I get it, I won't be able to look it up and sort of... This is both a, you know, sort of, well, I want it to be a functional project at some point, but there's going to be some reverse engineering with it.
Yep, understood. Okay, just doing some, yeah, anyway, your little beeping one did save my bacon once, literally, when the, what happened? It wasn't a power outage, it was something like wrong, oh, breaker tripped, power breaker tripped and broker tripped, and we didn't notice, and came home and found this, what's this beeping noise going on, and where it was there. So that was a good investment, Bill. Thank you.
Oh, that's the refrigerator. That's the fridge thermometer you're thinking about. Yeah, this one's actually also a water sensor, so this is the one I want to put under my air conditioner, which seems to plug up and leak every year and a half.
Yeah, understood.
Well, I have a similar problem in that I've had a sump pump that randomly decides not to pump. And interestingly, it still works because all I got to do is poke it and then it starts pumping. But I've got a replacement pump, but I was thinking of some sort of a sensor to tell me that it's not working.
No, a water sensor would do that. I mean, because there's a sump, you could put a sensor somewhere, you know, halfway up it or something to tell you that, hey, the pump's not keeping up.
Yep, I was thinking that.
Yeah, this thing might, it's funny, I added this to my Amazon wish list like three, four years ago, and it was like, I think it was like $90, and I said, too much, but they're down to $30 now, so they're sort of, you know, affordable.
Definitely.
One of the projects I wanted to do with one of the ESP8266s, we'll see if I could do a wireless water leak sensor that would run on batteries, because I really have no good access to electricity where this thing is, so we'll put that on hold and use this thing instead for a bit.
That sounds like a good project for any of these, because one thing that if the electricity goes out, that's a good reason that you would have water leaks.
Yeah, well, if the electricity goes out, you're likely not going to have, you're not going to have remote notification, because you're not going to have any internet probably, but at least the local beeper will beep. But I think the thing on the 8266, well, I don't know. I haven't done enough with them to know what kind of lifetime can you get out of them running on batteries. And, you know, if you went, you know, sort of hyper, you know, wake up every 5 minutes, see if the sensor's wet, go to sleep, you know, could you get a year's worth of battery life out of them?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It's a shame that Dave can't talk about this, because he's interested in these kinds of gadgets. He may give me some ideas later when I talk to him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, these are they're sort of interesting. I'm hoping to have fun with reverse engineering this thing. Well, A, can I sniff it phoning home on the network and decode that? And also then can I sniff it RF-wise with the sensor talking to its base station?
Yep, I understand.
On the NAS front, Phil, I also looked at the newbie stuff from, Open Supply, what's the name of those guys? The open source funding people, and it looked interesting, but it was too much of a hobby project. Well, I don't want a hobby project for this. I need something that works.
Yeah, I had a look at that when it came. In fact, I think we discussed that when it first came out, Sir Bill. Yeah, I got the same feeling. And also, I think it only took 2.5-inch, or was it 2.5-inch drives?
They've got two editions of it now. They've got the they've got one that takes 2.5 and another that takes 3. You know, the 3.5-inch size. The nice thing about that one was it was a 6-bay gizmo, so you could do quite a bit with it. But I was afraid I'd have to learn more about it than. They really want something I can sort of plug in and go, and I don't want to turn that part into a hobby right now.
No, I feel the same. That's why I've been very, very happy with the store. It's really been plug it in, turn it on, configure it, and forget about it. And I really want to do the same thing now, you know, when I replace it.
The one you've got now is a Netgear one, I think, I seem to remember.
Yeah, Netgear store.
Yeah, it's seen some good references to it, although I think it's long out of production.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I looked at it and thought, oh, you know, why is this, you know, I'm going to have to reset this thing, what's going on? And picked up the invoice, and it was 8 years ago.
It's funny how that slips right by.
I'm impressed you could find the invoice for it. I've taken to putting a sticker on the back of things with when it was bought and how long the warranty was for and where it was bought.
Did you look at the Western Digital black and blue and purple drives at all, Bill?
I have a little. I think they're probably pretty good. Isn't it the Western Digital red ones that they recommend for these?
Yeah, they got one for a surveillance drive as well, which is for recording video, which looks gets a pretty good review.
Yeah, I think the Western Digital ones are. I think I can find the article that talked about hard drive reliability by brand.
User disconnected from your channel.
Hey guys, well, I'm going to run. Good to chat and catch up with you next TeamSpeak. 73 is all.
73
Phil.
Say, Bill, I saw, I think last week, somebody in Central Texas had a bit of snow.
Last night, maybe.
Yeah, there was just a little, it was a rainstorm and part of it was below zero, so... somebody got snow in a place that probably doesn't get a huge amount.
And they were showing pictures on the news today out in Fredericksburg of snow on the ground, like, you know, at 5 a.m. I think it was gone by 7 a.m. when the sun came up. It was pretty weak. We didn't have too much precipitation here. What we got is wind, though. We had 40, 50 mile-an-hour winds, and there was a... There was actually a house fire overnight, you know, like 3-4 o'clock this morning, where they lost the entire house, and the wind managed to blow the fire onto the house next door, which took some damage, but was not, was not completely destroyed. The original house was, it's totaled. It's fairly difficult to fight a fire when the wind's blowing 40.
Yep, that's right. That's a big part of what California guys have to worry about is that the fire comes with wind.
Yeah, I think they've also got terrain problems with hills and brush and things like that. Here, this was a plain old, pretty barren suburban neighborhood, so it wasn't this was not brush aided in going from one house to the next.
Yep, I understand, but it's amazing you put a 40, 50, 60-mile wind behind something, and it moves pretty fast.
Yeah, well, I remember my days as a Boy Scout with campfires, and you blow a little bit on the fire, and you can bring it right up.
That's right.